Blog Talk Radio.
Who can still relish the experience. I wouldn't think that everybody is like me out there. I enjoy this aspect of masonry, of the others. So, today I like to just sit back, relax, enjoy. Good and interesting commentary, how I think this has been. So, some interesting material from on symbolism, although that's, I'm drawing that to a close because that's something that can go on forever. And we'll have a bit of good time and good music. And you'll see. I think you'll like the program today. We're going to start off with a sort of a gently taking you into our palms and sort of joining us, making that connection in our minds. With a bit of Chet Baker. This is from one of his more famous, he would be infamous, I would think, a man who had his battles and ended up taking this remarkable talent to remarkable levels. It's Chet Baker.
I fall in love too easily. I fall in love too fast. I fall in love too terribly hard for love to ever last. My heart should be well schooled, 'cause I've been fooled and the best, but still I fall in love so easily. I fall in love too fast. Thank you.
Program. Beautiful. Beautiful. Sit back and enjoy a little bit. Just a moment to acknowledge the listeners and to bracket all of this. So a shout out, as the kids would say, to our listeners from the Philippines, and Russia, Brazil, India, China, Austria, the USA, South Korea, France, Canada, Cameroon, Uganda, and the UK. Interesting audience here, wouldn't you say? But it does go to the fact that Masonry does have a global presence and global appeal. I have been struggling, and I need your advice here today with the struggle. And this is a good one. I've been trying to sort out whether I've been involved in sophistry, rhetoric, or the dialectic. I mean, the difference here, it's remarkable that we in some of our ritual, we make references to rhetoric. And most, I think, it's unfair to assume that everybody is comfortable or familiar enough with that class of study. Once it was very long ago, it was a part of the curriculum of the university. It essentially is about. Please don't be too harsh on my liberties I take explaining this. But in its essence, it's persuasion, using the art of the argument, not a punch out screaming, that kind of impolite, but the art of argument and debate to persuade an audience of a particular point. On the other hand, there is something that more the Hegelian, I would think, is reasonable, known as the dialectic, where we're taking apart the argument itself to demonstrate and to find truths by demonstrating where flaws are and moving forward. Now, Plato and Socrates were of that camp, where we would take a claim, do you know anything, and then take it, dissect it, and by dissecting it, reveal that in fact the person that's claiming they know everything knows nothing. Just as I said, I took great liberties here trying to explain it. So, in my own frame of mind, I was trying to apply that to. I wasn't not trying. I was applying that to Masonic effects. What are we really doing here? This is inserting information, and the commentary and opinions that I share with you week by week are simply that. I offer them, hopeful that you will see that they're And after digesting bits of information, I have observations and some, very few conclusions, but more observations along the way of things that I've discovered, and put them out there to for your contemplations to see if you find them valuable or you have you improve on them. You find you have another way of thinking. Of course you do. Of course you do. So here, that's the dilemma. If you reflect on your own status, your general way of connecting with the world around, the psychology of what we do, where do you fall? Where do you fall most of all? Are you more, or is it topic dependent? Do you lean toward persuasion of the audience, or do you lean teeter toward that, you know, that connection? Intellectual connection and the to back and forth to the Socratic method, to the dialectic, to reveal the flaws in the argument, and by doing that arrive at the truth. It's an interesting way of thinking. Keep that in the back of your mind, and to the listeners that have come to our door week by week. Thank you very much. It is quite a distinct audience out there, and we're absolutely reinforced in our efforts here at Masonic Effects. But this is a banquet that we are served. And the kind of discussion that happens around Masonic Effects was intended to be that which doesn't easily or comfortably happen in a particular lodge for a whole host of reasons, not necessarily searching out the good and the bad of it. No, the universe doesn't really qualify its ingredients with the good and bad. We have a positive and negative charge, but that's not necessarily good or bad. We don't have that value statement. So we don't approach things in that way, whether this is good or this is bad. But developing this whole notion of perisis, the idea about truth to power. How do we handle that? I will get into that in a later episode of Masonic Effects. But it raises the question, how does Masonry handle that? We still do. We're very candid and forthright with one another and with within our organization. That's encouraged. Always the dialogue is encouraged, to be that stretch for insight and truth, and that struggle against ignorance and the darkness, the consuming darkness of ignorance. The notion about if we're speaking truth, how made me think how question how we do that. Is it that we have people that have rank, and you think about it in your own Grand Lodge, is it people with rank that are being persuasive because of the knowledge exchange? Are they encapsulating years of study? I tend to think that we have a premier research lodge in London that does that for many of us. The authenticity and legitimacy of the perspective doesn't necessarily mean that it's an authority without being questioned, no. But it is valuable because of the consistency. And we can generally rely on the standard that it strives to achieve, the highest standard, whatever that might be. And when we listen to the quality of the papers delivered, without reservation, the likes of me, think of this as a place where merit is important, where the ideas stand on their own, but they are well researched and well put together and laid out for our examination. So something to how do we approach our work? It creates the dialectic, I think. We may begin with the sophistry, but I think it's not limiting. It's not limited. Somebody may be limited in their approach to the thinking, that the only thing they are there for, the only role that they can perform, is to try and persuade these people in the audience of something that they don't know, as if we can impart secrets that way. I tend to be with that group that believes that we discover those revelations within our own conscience, within our own mind, that it is the dialectic that is essential. But let's put that aside right now. Oh, and let me share with you the commentary today, how a dignity has been reserved. And please be kind to this old man when you're listening to this. See if you feel that there is a push or a pull factor here. I would love to hear about it. We need to look no further than a lodge to understand why a dignified, thoughtful attitude toward masonry resonates so deeply. Lodges are the cells that are necessary for masonry to exist. It is pure speculation to suggest one element is more important than another. Each cell has a prescribed function. Some operate at a high level. Domesticity gives way to philosophy, erudite conversation, ethics, and operationalizing the obligations, ritual. Each member is a fluid, at once bringing out the individual experience and function while flowing into an organic function. Our antiquarians and biographers continue to supply us with insights. And as time goes by, the fascination with personality and celebrity has faded. In a noisy, chaotic, crazy world, there is symmetry and a beautiful calculus that we may not fully understand, drawing minds toward the craft. In a sense, we are more aware today that this world is spinning with more outcomes, more innovation, from more locations than one can cover in a walk casually through a library. We are such an interesting creature, forever fascinated with the newest forms of communication. 0.01% of all life forms directly accountable for 83% of extinctions of life forms. That's us. This information is daunting, though indispensable to the craft. To suggest masonry has a foot on the brakes ignores the progressive, however unpopular, message of universality. We lean into the challenge with our foot on the accelerator. We are out ahead of urbanization and population growth. We are aware of the street optics, where the chafing of assimilation is happening. We hold political ideologues accountable for the unstated effects of their policies that are far more opaque than understandable. And if we are dedicated scholars of the craft, we stop stumbling like the proverbial toddler learning to walk and speak thoughtfully about challenges facing humanity. True masonry displaces pessimism with dignity. Carry on. This is Sunny Stitt, Walter Bishop, Tommy Porter, and Kenny Clark.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We'd like to feature our sex buffetist, Sunny Stitt. And he's going to play Lover Band, Sonny Stitt.
Yeah, but isn't that something? Just amazing. Just amazing. Sort of like the music, like it's a bit like us. It should never exist. Jazz. An oppression. So many barriers, so many reasons not to exist. And yet, it's heart and soul. It's innovation. It's emotion. You just heard, shouldn't exist. You think about this group of men bent to their work, of understanding shouldn't exist. We have the weight of cynicism on our shoulders. And it's unrelenting. We have the despots. We have deceivers. And here we are, not evangelical. We're not offering fire and brimstone. We sit back and think. And we draw on that fascination with the Greek and Roman cultures that happened historically for us in Britain. There were other centers of learning, turning points, tipping points, particularly in the Middle East. The Arab nation has struggled to reestablish. And that makes me think that at one time so significant and making contributions that are defining, they've shaped the way we think and do our business and go about our work day by day. And yet that greatness faded. It's like Rome, the power of Rome. Who would ever have questioned it? And yet we know that it became what we refer to as corrupted. Certain processes and the history and insight allows us to trace it back to see what where the seeds of that corruption were planted. And that knowledge gives us an opportunity to avoid those things. In masonry, similarly, we are being led to this. We are being led down a path that we are on willingly. Nobody enforces this. And it takes us to these insights, these outcomes. And we trust them or not. Only a fool would trust everything about the order without doing their own research. But there's so much reliable information, so much consistency, that it becomes easier to trust based on the experience with the craft. Always be objective, always. But when we're never admonished, we're challenged. We are to apply ourselves by being watchful, by listening. Now that's very, very hard. And the last, it takes a great deal of energy to understand and achieve. We watch, we listen, and we do so in silence. If you've ever tried that, and we're given the encouragement, we're given some beautiful mythology and mixed in with history, that the school of Pythagoras promoted these ideas. But then the school of Pythagoras was also a school that, yes, in the day promoted veganism. Check it out for yourself. And for a lot of people, you know, that was very difficult. But some cities saw the wisdom of the way and would invite Pythagoras and his acolytes, his students, to advise. Today we see an effort was almost successful in eradicating mention of Pythagoras. It's like the putting things into context. We still revere Greek tragedy, Greek play, and yet some of them were only performed once. Oh, it must have been a beautiful performance. There were no ticket holders, and first come, first serve, and great fights would break out just to be there, just to be there. The experience makes me reflect when I see people doing something, but looking at it through the lens of a phone, of a camera, and putting that barrier between themselves and the experience. And it's curious. I don't find it, I'm not offended by it. It's just curious why we would do that. There are barriers. And yet some things small and some things insignificant, one play would resonate, would echo loudly thousands of years later. And yet the discovery continues. The beauty of the discovery. Here, I'm going to share with you something that we haven't gotten into an area of the world. And this is we start off in Antwerp. It was a French empire at the time. On the 3rd of December, 1812, there are battles going on here in Canada, that War of 1812. But the importance here is that in Antwerp, somebody was being born, baby was being born. This baby, a boy, turned out to be a soldier, a revolutionary, a Republican, a writer, a poet, and a novelist. It's the poet that brings him to our door. And he was part of what's known as the Romanticism period of writing. He was a Belgian author. And he's considered the pioneer of Dutch language literature in Flanders, writing at a time when Belgium was dominated by the French language among the upper classes, literature and government. Remember, not that long ago. Not that long ago, the confession, the ceremonies were in Latin, and it was done to preserve a uniqueness and an elitism, and no question, what was the purpose of that, that higher authority? Conscience, Hendrik Conscience was his name, and he fought as a Belgian revolutionary in 1830 and was a notable writer in the Romanticist style early in the 19th century, which brings him into our wheelhouse where so much was happening in masonry in the 18th and 19th century. And anyway, he was a bit of an eccentric, which makes me love him a bit more. And he took up the business of buying and breaking up worn out vessels. Of course, he was at the port, buying and breaking them up. Anyway, he went on, lived a good life, lived to be 70, and he passed on the 10th of August, 1883. So a couple of days, and we celebrated his the anniversary of this interesting fellow's passing. Here, I want to share with you one of his poems. This is a poem from that school. This is a poem of Hermann Goethe from 1890. I think it really, enough. Listen to it for yourself. The cold flesh of another against my own dry knuckles and my eyes unseen in the night, that cool, juicy flesh and all the might of me into the night as if I'm dead, all black, no white, no red, my whole head cools. It would seem nowhere does a gold gleam so beautifully black the night's pall, eyeless, with no thoughts at all. That wet bath of night, that drowned state, that hole in daylight, that dewy feeling round here, my head so beautifully clear. Wash that down with a bit of si je me
Rappelle-moi le jour et l'année. Rappelle-moi le temps qu'il faisait. Si j'ai oublié, tu peux me secouer. Il me prend l'envie de m'en aller. Enferme-moi et jette la clé. Figure de rappel. Comment je m'appelle? décennies que j'ai passé les guitares et les cris. Rappelle-moi qui je suis, pourquoi je suis en vie. Si jamais j'oublie les jambes à mon cou, si un jour je fuis, rappelle-moi qui je suis, ce que je m'étais promis. Rappelle-moi mes rêves les plus fous. Rappelle-moi ces larmes sur mes joues. Et si je l'oubliais, combien j'aimais chanter. Si jamais j'oublie les nuits que j'ai passées, les guitares et les cris. Rappelle-moi qui. Pourquoi je suis en vie. Si jamais j'oublie les gens d'un monde, si un jour je suis, rappelle-moi qui je suis, ce que je m'étais promis. Oh, 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 oh. Rappelle-moi qui je suis, pourquoi je suis en vie. Rappelle-moi le jour et l'année.
I love it, that transition from the past that honors the singers from the 20s and 30s. Zaz. Beautiful. It helps, what a nice segue into the next portion of the program. You don't mind if I pick up the pace a little bit? It, only because today is the 224th day of the year. It only leaves us with here 41 days to the autumnal equinox, or the spring equinox, if you're in the... That's just a note of authenticity to all the listeners. It only leaves us 41 days. Find that balance, that equinox, eh? And then we run about madly because we are in our right state of mind. Yeah. This is from the work of Colin Dyer, Symbolism in Craft Masonry. And I'm going to be drawing this to a close, not because it's complete. We could hold up any symbol and reflect on it, and not all are relevant in any given day. I think it's a mistake to be thinking that when somebody tells me or you something, that it has bearing. I find it's interesting when a person is enthusiastic about something and they want to share that enthusiasm. And it's like, really, it's like trying to, for me, sharing creativity, sharing curiosity. Either like that company or we do not. I think curiosity is infectious. I think the mysteries of Freemasonry are infectious. the study of them. It's cool. The cool about masonry are these esoteric topics. And once we overcome that self-defeating kind of an attitude, well, you know, either it's new and I'm not inclined to open my mind, which sort of begs the question about why masonry. Anyway, masonry going about its work, helping complete strangers, doing good deeds without drawing attention, you know. The art of masonry has an appeal to a settled mind. So is it for everybody? Well, I think we can recognize that something is changing around the world in cultures. All are emerging constantly, and the chemistry of every country and every culture is constantly merging, forming and reacting, or reacting and forming. And with every new person, new chemistry and new opportunities, new configurations, new blends. And we never can, on a scale and at a pace that we can only approximate. So we do that mathematically with our statistics. They give us an approximation. Oh, there are those that would claim that we're better off with our head in the sand, but I'm not one of them. You know, or we'll make up some, you know, feeble-minded criticism. A tree fell in the forest once, therefore we should never plant trees. If we're looking for the perfection in the universe, you have to dig in a big picture. It's a big mindset. So I'm not here today to talk about thought experiments, although I would love to, but we're going to move along with those packages of information that just fall in front of us through symbols. And rightfully, if we can say, you know, when you're around somebody that is claiming to know it all, just be gentle and kind with that person, because they may have a small aspect. And if anybody had a firm and comprehensive grasp of all of the symbolism of a particular topic, I tend to think they would be enormously generous and delicate with the rest of us. They would be the Joseph Campbell. There would be an element of modesty. Yeah, I mean that. That would be an aspect of that character. Well, what do we see with Masons, the presentation of a life well lived, but also appreciated modesty? Remember, one of the hardest tasks for mankind, humanity, is that notion of being able to do nothing. A very dear friend taught me that. When in doubt, when you're not sure what to do, do nothing. Very, very, it takes a great deal of self-discipline to do that. And that self-discipline is going to drive me to talk to you a bit more about symbolism. And just to ramp up to it and talk about the inner meaning of the carpet. Preston, the great Masonic influence, gave attribution to three orders that is generally followed by the moderns before the change at the time of the Union to what is used presently in most lodges. Later we're going to talk about the personality of the lodge, whether lodges... And I'll ask a should question. Should more lodges be enabled to develop its own character, its own way of ritual? Well, we don't have history. We're not developing it beforehand. before our Grand Lodge and before our constitutions. So it would always be derivative. And when we go to various lodges in Scotland, for example, we find the lodges that have been practicing their ritual, their way, predating the development of Grand Lodges. But he goes on. This comes from some work that J.S.M. Ward gave us on the carpet or flooring and on the four tassels traditionally shown as corners, which appear in the corners of the first degree tracing mark. The inner meaning of this carpet is the checkered way of life, the alternations of joy and sorrow, of good and evil, of day and night, which we all experience in the course of our lives. Indeed, it may be said to stand for all opposites. But what probably strikes the initiate more than anything else about this carpet are the four tassels, which are woven into the pattern at the four corners. We are told that these represent the four cardinal virtues, but this is a late gloss, probably invented toward the close of the 18th century. And there seems no particular reason why they should represent the four cardinal virtues more than the four elements or any other four particular. We find the true origins of these tassels as of many more obscure points in our ritual if we study the medieval methods employed by the operative masons when laying out the ground plan for a new building. Pillars of Earth comes to mind. The master mason, or architect, as we should call him today, commenced his work by striking the center of the piece of ground on which the building was to be erected. And from it, he plotted out the square or rectangle on which the containing walls were subsequently to rise. To do so, he extended ropes from the center pin to the four angles and pegged down those corners of the building. A circle, right? And as he pegged them down by the simple use of square and triangle, he was able to check the four corners and ascertain if they were true. As the walls rose from time to time, a piece of wood was extended from the corner inwards. See, as the walls rose from time to time, a piece of wood was extended from the corner inwards, and a plumb line dropped down to make sure the walls were perpendicular and the angle as true as its upper tiers, on its upper tiers as at the base. A dim remembrance of these corner plumb lines lingered on well into the middle of the 19th century in speculative masonry. For we have met several old provincial brethren who remember seeing not merely woven tassels on the carpet, but actually tassels hanging in the four corners of the lodge room. And in the ritual used in the old days, it is these hanging tassels by which the four cardinal virtues were attached, implying, of course, that the four cardinal virtues were guides to enable a man to maintain an upright life. Like many other old and interesting customs, these tassels seem to have disappeared, and we are left with a symbolic representation of the four ends of the ropes which crossed the ground plan of the building. W.L. Wilmshurst saw more in the square pavement for the high priest to walk on, which is the original of the lodge floor. It's not merely the Jewish high priest of centuries ago that is here referred to, but the individual member of the craft. For every mason is intended to be the high priest of his own personal temple and to make it a place where he and deity may meet. By the mere fact of being in this dualistic world, every living being, whether a mason or not, walks upon the square pavement of mingled good and evil in every action of his life.
so that the floor cloth is the symbol of an elementary philosophical truth common to us all. But for us, the words walk upon imply much more than that. They mean that he who aspires to be master of his fate and captain of his soul must walk upon these opposites in the sense of transcending and dominating them, of trampling upon his lower sensual nature and keeping it beneath his feet in subjugation and control. He must be able to rise above the motley of good and evil, to be superior and indifferent to the ups and downs of fortune. The attractions and fears governing ordinary men. And swaying their thoughts and actions this way and that. His object is the development of his innate spiritual potencies. And it is impossible that these should develop so long as he is overruled by his material tendencies and the fluctuating emotions of pleasure and pain that they give birth to. It is by rising superior to these and attaining serenity and mental equilibrium under any circumstances in which, for the moment, he may be placed, that a mason truly walks on the checkered groundwork of existence and the conflicting tendencies of his more material nature. Ha. Huh. Unbelievable. See what you think. Joe Henderson and Woody Shaw. This is called A Theme from Maxine. Thank you.
Well, we have to wrap it up today.
A little bit of Joe Henderson and Woody Shaw from Kongsberg Concert in 1987. Sometimes I wonder about the different precincts of masonry. Ritual, benevolence, self-awareness, camaraderie, metaphysics and alchemy, and philosophy. We visit those in combinations at different times. Some we find fascinating. However, they all are there to help us arrive at some sense of meaning if we look for it. I suppose there are people that think that the things you and I do that just to enjoy ourselves don't make any sense to them. Somebody trying to perfect that inner balance with a set of golf clubs. Somebody walking through the forest without leaving any footprint. Somebody with a camera or binoculars out bird watching. Or you and I sitting on a shore with a glass of wine in hand and realizing the benefits and the privilege of the lifestyle that we have. Or being in desperate and unpleasant circumstances and experiencing the freedom of the butterfly or the sun or the wind, putting the sound of desperation out of your mind for a moment to reflect on what could be, what will be. This too will pass. The contemplative mind does require some degree of intelligence. It takes us to places that are uncommon, just as uncommon as Freemasonry. So carry on those acts of random Masonic kindness. It's an absolute pleasure to have you join us at this table for a very short period of time. Take away what you can, but I mean, connect the ideas with some incredible music. Come back to us and visit soon. Look forward to it. See you next week.